If you are involved in the marketing of your business, the world is changing. Yes, we have the coronavirus pandemic, but even before that, the world is constantly changing. How can you keep up with those constant changes and thrive even in the current environment? We're going to talk about that today on this episode of the Maximize Your Social Influence podcast. Welcome to the Maximize Your Social Influence podcast with Neil Schaefer, where I help marketers, entrepreneurs, and business owners grow their businesses using innovative marketing techniques, leveraging the concept of digital influence throughout digital and social media. Hey everybody, Neil Schaefer here. Welcome to August. How is your summer going? This is a summer unlike any other. I'm sure that you would love to go on a summer vacation. Maybe some of you are on a summer vacation. We've decided to stay safe, although normally we would be going back to Japan over the summer. So it kind of sucks, but it also makes us appreciate everything and everyone around us and how thankful we should be for that. So before we get on to today's episode, I have a special announcement to make. Well, it's not so special. It is kind of special, I suppose. This episode is being sponsored by two companies which I adore, FreshBooks and SocialBee. So I recently sponsored, or I should say they recently sponsored an Instagram book giveaway that I did that some of you might have heard on this podcast, participated in, won some free books. So, well, it was great, got a lot of engagement, but guess what? There's still some free books remaining. So I thought, well, Instagram is Instagram, podcast is podcast. I really want to give you the opportunity to win a copy of one of these books. And interestingly enough, I am now willing, because it's my podcast and I know how international my listenership, I don't know if that's a word, is, I want to offer my free book to you wherever you are in the world. I'm going to send it to you, sign it on my dime. So my ask, you knew that was coming, right? My ask is, if you've already read The Age of Influence, maybe you read an electronic copy, maybe you want to have another copy that you want to give a friend, or maybe you just bought it, but you want to get a signed copy because you like to collect signed things. I don't know. But if you want to get a signed copy, all I ask, and that you've read the book, and hopefully you find it recommendable, that you'll post a review online and you'll send me a screenshot of that review once it's published. Right? Now, if you haven't read the book, don't write a review, because that's a fake review. But instead, what I'd love for you to do is just write a real simple review of this podcast, one or two sentences, just recommending it to others if, once again, you find it to be recommendable. Once it gets published, just send me a screenshot. Either one of these screenshots, send to neil@neilschaefer.com. I'm going to put it in the show notes. And as a reminder that FreshBooks is an amazing, the leading software solution for small businesses. And SocialBee is a social media dashboard. Agora Pulse is the main dashboard that I use. But I use SocialBee for some strategic content curation tasks. And I've yet to really publicly talk about how I use SocialBee in conjunction with everything else I do. That's maybe for a future episode. But if you're intrigued, go into the show notes. Make sure you click on the links for FreshBooks and for SocialBee. And there's going to be some special freebies for you, because you're a listener of the Maximize Your Social Influence podcast, and because, well, you're awesome because of that. Okay, so let's move on to the topic of today's episode. So this is going to be an interview episode, and I'm really excited to bring you the CEO of the Digital Marketing Institute, Ken Fitzpatrick. Now, if you're listening from Europe, the Middle East, Africa, you've probably heard of the Digital Marketing Institute. They are out of Ireland. They are one of the leaders in providing global education for digital marketers. I know that they are also active in the United States. Being that they're from Europe, that's where their initial market was. They created a global advisory council, of which I'm really honored to be a member of. We had our annual advisory meeting, well, it was last year actually, in Chicago. Lee Auden of Top Rank Marketing, Larry Kim of Mobile Monkey, you know, executives from a number of Fortune 50 companies. It was really an honor to be together with them, but also to help them drive forward the vision and the coursework for the Digital Marketing Institute. So Ken is in, you know, as the CEO, is in charge of delivering the latest and greatest digital marketing education to tens of thousands. Boy, by this time, I'm sure they've educated more than 100,000 digital marketers worldwide. So we're going to talk about navigating the marketer's world of constant change. Obviously, this is even before coronavirus. We recorded this obviously after coronavirus, but coronavirus just adds another dimension to this, obviously. We're going to talk about the fear of becoming irrelevant that marketers have. And if you don't have that, you should have that, because that is what's going to keep you growing as a professional. And speaking of that, we're going to talk about the skill sets that marketers are going to need in the now as well as in the near future. So regardless if you're a marketer or an entrepreneur or a business owner, I think there's something in here for everybody. And if you're listening to my podcast, you're already investing in your education. So I think you're really going to enjoy and find insight in this podcast. So without further ado, my friend, Ken Fitzpatrick of the Digital Marketing Institute. All right. So today we have Ken Fitzpatrick, who is CEO of the Digital Marketing Institute. Now, some of you, if you're listening to this from the United States, might not be as familiar with this institute as those in Europe, Middle East, especially those in Ireland, United Kingdom. Digital Marketing Institute is really one of the global leaders in providing digital marketing education to professionals, students, what have you. I found out about Digital Marketing Institute because they invited me to be on their Global Advisory Council, which I'm honored to be a member of. And after I found out what they were doing, I had a chance to visit them at their headquarters in Dublin when I was teaching at the Irish Management Institute. And just a fantastic organization that is creating world-class content, but really going above and beyond that to really become a resource for enterprises that our digital marketing talent is actually becoming harder and harder to find. So we're going to talk about a lot of things. And Ken and I, we could talk just for like 2 hours about what we talked about at our last advisory meeting and the research findings. But today we are in the midst of COVID-19, and this does sort of change the rules in many ways for companies and for marketers. But before we get to that, Ken, I gave a brief introduction. Could you please introduce yourself as well as the Digital Marketing Institute for those that are not familiar with the organization?
Sure. Thanks, Neil. Well, you gave an incredibly brilliant introduction. I don't know if I can top that. But yes, I'm Ken Fitzpatrick, CEO of the Digital Marketing Institute, based here in Dublin, in Ireland, where it's currently raining, which is hugely unsurprising. But the DMI, as we call it, is a training and certification business for digital marketing, for marketing professionals typically who want to upskill and stay relevant in digital marketing. So we've about 75,000 members, and we've certified over 20,000 people all over the world over the last 9 or 10 years or so. And really our focus is becoming the largest certification provider of digital marketing all over the world. So that's what we sort of spend our days trying to work on.
Great. We've all seen with COVID-19, it's brought tremendous change to the way that businesses can communicate with consumers, with clients, what have you. So from your perspective, and obviously seeing the world of digital marketing from where you're at, what are the changes that COVID-19 has brought about to marketing, to digital marketing, that everybody listening really needs to better understand and take action on?
Okay. So you'd be pleased to know we actually just completed a bunch of research with our member base, because we actually wanted to find out how this was affecting them. So, you know, obviously we're not the first people to run research in this area in the last couple of months, but actually this is very specific to marketing professionals, so it's probably of interest to your listeners. So we polled about 47,000 people, and we got just shy of about 500 responses. So it's pretty robust in terms of size. I think there's three main pots of changes that are coming out here. The first is people's personal situation, which is obviously hugely impacted from in terms of marketing professionals. So 38% of the people who responded to us had had a change in their employment status of some description. And I don't mean a positive change. In most cases, that was a negative change. So 25% actually said that they were now unemployed, which is quite significant. This research was probably done about 6 weeks ago, Neil, so some of those figures may have changed since, as some economies begin to emerge on the other side. But just it's a universal impact is probably the key conclusion I, I took from that. And those who were still working actually have more work to do, which is also unsurprising, often because there's less people around than there was to be able to do it because, you know, companies have let people go. And the vast majority have had their salary impacted in some way, or nearly half said in a negative way that their salaries, so a lot of people have had their salaries sort of frozen, but nearly half have said there's actually been a negative impact. So I think just even for a professional operating in that environment, that's tough. You know, that's a tough change because there's a lot of uncertainty about the future and uncertainty for people at a personal level in terms of their career. So that for me was the first big sort of cluster of changes that we saw. The second is companies, two-thirds of them said that their company's revenue was down, okay? And a third of them said that they were down more than 30%. So that's, again, a big challenge. Often people, I think 92% of them said they were working from home at the time, which is, again, unsurprising. But dealing with that as a marketer is challenging. You know, how do you respond to that? What's your role in trying to change that? And I think the problem when revenues fall is that the third big part of this is what happens to people's spend. And half of them have had their marketing budgets cut. So again, not hugely surprising, about another 25% said it's flat. So you're talking about three quarters of people where they may have the same, but most less to spend than they did a few months ago. So is there a bright light in there? Yes, there is. So the bright light is that 49% of them said their digital marketing spend had actually increased, and only 11% had said they had seen a decrease, which is, I presume, people who are just so affected by COVID that they had to make cuts everywhere. So you're seeing digital leading the way out of the difficulties that people are facing, digital leading the way in helping companies respond to a loss in revenues, and marketers having to double down on their activities in this space. So we said to them, what are you doing now, or what's different, or what's happened? Some trends that were happening have just now gone into hyperdrive. So what did they say was gone or reduced? Print, events, direct mail. No huge surprises here, Neil, but they've taken a huge shift, even faster in terms of the move from there to digital. What has increased? Everything from email and social to content. People said content is somewhere they've really, really focused in on. Very often thought leadership-led content. People said, we've got through the phase of telling everybody we're still here and that, you know, kind of we're all in this together. And now people are trying to move to the thought leadership position of saying, well, okay, we're not just here, we're actually doing some different things at the moment. And the last piece is the website has always been important, as we know, but it's actually becoming even more important. So it's really, for many businesses who had physical presences, it's the only window that they have to the world now. And UX, SEO, and e-commerce all came up as items that, again, were probably important pre-COVID, but have had more money and more emphasis put on them since the crisis happened. Those are some of the big changes that people said.
Yeah, thanks for sharing that, Ken. That's really interesting. You know, it's funny, for instance, in influencer marketing specifically, one company that I know of, they cut 30% of their staff. They're like an influencer marketing agency. Whereas another influencer marketing tool company I talked to said their sales have never been higher. And I know that the marketers that I talk to that are, you know, obviously people that listen to this show are very involved in digital and social. They've never been busier and they're finding new business. I know that I've found new business. So, you know, I would tend to believe that those that were never very digitally mature, and also it depends on the industry, I assume, are probably the ones that took the biggest cut. Whereas, you know, assuming you already had the infrastructure in place, you're already selling digital products and services or e-commerce, then you're probably, although sales will go down, and with that, you're going to need to cut marketing budget. It still becomes it's never been as essential part of your business as it is today, right?
100%. A retailer friend of mine who obviously had to close his outlets was online because he had infrastructure built, but they'd never gone to, they had a website, but it was never the full Monty, as it were. Within 48 hours, he was up and running online. And as you say, although his sales are down, he's actually bringing in income that otherwise he wouldn't have been able to do. We ourselves have a lot of partners who deliver programs in the classroom. We immediately allowed those customers to use our learning management system so that those programs could be delivered online. And about 30 of our partners did that. And it enabled them to keep trading through what could be a non-existent commercial time for many of those when they can't run the classroom program.
Yeah, and the other interesting point you brought up, and this is recommendations, or I should say advice I've been giving my clients, is there may be a time where you need to sort of stop, for instance, you know, advertising spend. There are some marketing expenses that I realize are being what we would call rationalized right now. Yeah. But those basics of, you know, where should you invest that? When you can't do events, where should you invest that budget? I know a lot of that from what I hear is going to influencer marketing. But I'm a big fan also of that backbone of your company, the user interface, you know, revision that you've been wanting to do for the last 2 years, right? The SEO, refine the e-commerce store, the things on the back end that are only going to pay dividends. Now is really the time to double down. Sort of like in Southern California, all these highway construction projects are, you know, full steam ahead right now because you have less cars on the road. It makes it easier to do that, right?
100%.
So in the same way, the infrastructure. Yeah, the fact that people are talking about that makes a lot of sense.
And people moved from events to webinars almost overnight because it was the only option to them. And people are comfortable with webinars. And now people are saying, well, actually, do you know what? I may never go back to all the events I previously had because these are working out for me. And I think one huge thing in the middle of this, Neil, is that the consumer behavior has changed as well. And that's the other thing that we need to be aware of. So what we're hearing is that consumers, particularly on the B2C side, are much more engaged because they very often have more time on their hands. So they're spending more time researching. They're making more considered decisions because maybe they've less money and purchasing power. They're probably a little bit more skeptical and they've got a huge amount of choice. So items like that's why the website's so important. That's why something like influencer marketing is much more important, so that you can help people decide between one option rather than the other. So you're dealing with a consumer who's now probably tougher to get over the line. And things like customer service, which you had all set up in a beautiful way in a physical environment, may now have to be redone in order to work in an online environment. And people who can get that stuff right are actually with the customers who are maybe a little bit more demanding than they were in the past. That's going to be the make or break. So that reaction to the consumer behavior changes, I think, not just the platform changes, is actually pretty, pretty important.
It actually, you know, in crisis is opportunity, and it actually gives tremendous opportunity to those brands that might not have been on store shelves of the big stores, because people just aren't going to those stores as much.
Correct.
But they're searching online for content, right?
Correct.
Or they're in social media being influenced. And therefore, that role of content and getting out there will provide opportunities for businesses, right?
I think so. And that's why I think people have moved. I think you're right. I think content has just become even more important than it was. And there's a proliferation of content. But companies that are moving fast, that are making decisions rather than perfecting decisions, that are getting into the midst of the new world, seem to be performing better. And as you said earlier, digital is actually the shining light in this because it's leading the way out for many companies.
Yeah. So all of you listening, you're obviously in a really, really good position. And even though we talked, or Ken talked, the survey at the beginning of people losing jobs, I still believe, Ken, I'm sure you'd agree that there's still a lack of really experienced and trained digital marketers. And the demand is only going to increase with what we're seeing. So
I couldn't agree more, Neil, because actually we had done quite an amount of research with marketers all over the world about a year ago. And the biggest challenge for many marketers is staying ahead of the pace of change that happens in the market. Even experienced digital marketers, there's always something new. There's always a new channel, a new platform that you need to get your head around. That gone are the days where a customer dealt with you in one way only. Now their touch points could be 10, 12 touch points that they deal with customers are much more real time than they were. And marketers have told us that staying ahead of that change is actually really important to them, not only because of the help that they can give to their company, but it actually keeps them in demand at a personal level for roles. And as you say, it's difficult to find those people. So whoever can kind of stay ahead of that change is going to be in a very, very good position, particularly as opportunities, I think, increase around the digital space. We call it marketers have the fear of becoming irrelevant, because they're always afraid that they're going to fall behind the next thing. So that's sort of staying ahead of the game or staying up to date, that's really important. And in our member research, that's why, unsurprisingly, a lot of them said, look, I'm going to use, a lot of marketers are saying, I'm going to use this crisis as a time to upskill and reskill and take some time out to do some training and education, because I know I'm in a good place here when things get better, or even now. But if I'm not sort of ahead of that, then the fear, and I don't like to talk about fears too much, but that's just underneath there. That's just, I don't want to be the guy who doesn't know the answer to the next question or the next thing that's happening in digital.
So similar to companies should be investing in their infrastructure, professionals should also be investing in their infrastructure. It's a great time to do that. They now have that time on their hands.
Correct.
To get up to speed on everything.
Yeah, so you're seeing a lot of online learning platforms, ourselves included, huge amount of increase in usage. Everything, I think, from people doing stuff they always wanted to do at a personal level to stuff for them. So for us, I think if I was to say, what should you focus on in terms of those areas? CMOs tell us that there's about the five top areas that they think are the most important today, most important tomorrow, and the toughest to recruit for. Those are the things that I think that marketers should look at. So just that for your listeners, customer experience was first, which was obviously a very sort of trendy topic over the last 12 months. Data and analytics was next, which is an interesting one. Digital strategy was third, which is a little bit of a catch-all. Next one was web design optimization and UX. That's a big area. And then content marketing was fifth. Social actually came in sixth, which is, I think, more a reflection of the fact that a lot of people are using social for quite a significant amount of time now. But I actually think that that's going to change again and become important. So if I'm out there thinking, what do I need to upskill on? Those are the sort of areas I'd be thinking about.
So those were based on the survey that we talked about at our meeting.
Correct.
So I'm just curious, what do you think with COVID-19, what impact that's had on customer experience, for instance, when it's all digital? I mean, it's still there, but.
Yeah, that's a really brilliant point, Neil, because my dishwasher is broken downstairs, right? And we've been trying to get it fixed for weeks now, which has resulted in all of us in the house having to wash and dry dishes, which is an unusual skill for my children to learn. But their problem, for example, in dealing with our query on customer service side, is that they're all working at home and they can't record telephone calls using the technology they have at home. So therefore, I can't speak to the customer resolutions team. So it's a small example of a situation where their delivery of customer experience is poor at the moment, not necessarily due to the intention or intent of them as individuals. They want to sort it out. But because they can't record, they can't talk to you. And therefore, as a customer, you're feeling very frustrated. And I think that's the biggest challenge, is delivering customer service in an online-only world is incredibly hard.
So I've had a similar experience. Our microwave oven.
Okay.
For 2 weeks now. But because this manufacturer was set up digitally, I was able to do everything online. And therefore, whether it was COVID-19 or whether it was before, it probably would have taken the same amount of time.
Yeah.
It would have been the same experience. And I guess that's really the question. Obviously, the company in Ireland that you speak of hasn't been able to do that, but that's really comes down to that digital infrastructure. And obviously, we focus on the marketing side, but it comes across the entire customer journey, right?
100%.
And that's the challenge. So I want to ask you, you talked about the fear of being irrelevant.
Yeah.
So every few years, there's a new social platform. The flavor this year is TikTok.
Yeah.
Or hey, we got to be doing QR codes, or over the course of time, how does Digital Marketing Institute, I guess you have a huge user base that you can tap into for their insight. How do you decide at one point we need to include TikTok in our curriculum, or we need to do something on this subject or that subject?
There's three sources of that information. One is the wonderful and brilliant council and global council of advisors that we use. That is a genuine. You guys tend to give us insights into what's happening next. We talk to the members and we ask them what's missing. And we do that through tons and tons of customer touch points, instant surveys and so on. And then we also talk to our partners, like academic partners and training companies and corporates who we deal with, to say, look, what are we missing here? What's coming up? The rule of thumb that we tend to use is that if it's brand new and it's bright and shiny, that's great, and we'll provide membership content around that. But we probably won't test you on it until it has moved slightly more into the mainstream, where it's not just 2% of companies using it, it is a bigger percentage of companies using it. And the reason for that is we provide news and we provide information for the latest things, but a marketer can only do a certain number of campaigns and approaches to its customer base over the course of a year. If you're constantly moving just to the next thing that looks kind of cool and interesting, you're actually going to end up wasting a lot of time and effort. So we tend to provide that information in news form and then put it into the syllabus when it's sort of reached a tipping point of being, you know, this is something that's in most companies' marketing mix or marketing activities. So TikTok's definitely in there already because it's moved so quick. But I still think TikTok is still one where people are figuring out exactly how to get the most out of it. But if you're talking about influencer and you're talking about TikTok, those are two beautiful words right now. And that is really hitting home, as particularly for targeting the younger demographic. It's where it's at the moment. And you know, people like Charli D'Amelio and so on, they're just, what they do matters to a core demographic, typically of teenagers and the like. So I think TikTok is probably more than a fad or a phase, or it's kind of moved in. But I still think the challenge there is to work out, what am I going to do on TikTok that's actually going to make a difference for my business? Or should I be there in the first place? Is it actually relevant to me?
Yeah, it's funny. At Social Media Marketing World, which is the largest social media marketing conference, it was right before lockdown, the first week of March.
Right.
And TikTok, I'll never forget, like during one of the breakout sessions, there was like a free TikTok presentation going on in this networking area. And it was just overflowing with people. And it was obviously top of mind. But Ken, I just think, since we've been in this industry a while, this historical perspective of, okay, I remember when there were people saying B2Bs need to use Snapchat.
Yep.
Or everything is about Google Plus. You got to be on Google Plus because it's Google.
Yeah. And MySpace.
MySpace, exactly. So I think marketers really need to have a dose of sanity. And for those listening, I'm sure you'd agree, Ken, it really, TikTok is that, if you do serve that demographic, then it's obviously critical. And I would consider the TikTok demographic and the Snapchat demographic to be very similar. Although TikTok, a lot of older people are trying to use it, and they're not using it in the way it was intended to be used, but every social network morphs. So we'll see what happens, right?
Yeah, I think so. I think you're right. It's, at the moment, it's for a certain demographic. Something like Instagram started as a more interactive, fixed demographic. That's much more mainstream now. I think a lot of brands, mainstream brands as it were, could live on Insta quite easily. And that's what, if I was in a more traditional marketing role or marketing in an industry where I'm looking at an older demographic, I think Insta might offer some interesting options for people.
Yeah, and I see, just looking at my own children, are my test guinea pigs, whatever you want to call them. Seeing now that, well, because all the parents are on Instagram, I see a lot of them now actually going back to Snapchat.
Correct.
Because the parents are not there, right? So, but TikTok has never been about that. You know, you could call, I've seen data that shows Snapchat as more of a mobile messaging app. And young people do use Instagram the same way for the messaging capability. I don't think TikTok, although I'm sure it has a capability, was not really, it's more about that entertainment value, right?
Correct.
So is a distinctive differentiator.
Yes. I think you've hit the nail on the head. That entertainment angle is probably the differentiator of TikTok.
So TikTok, influencer marketing, any other things in the horizon that people listening should be aware of?
No, I think people are busy enough getting their head around how to run their business and keep their customers happy in a pure online world. But there is a little bit of back to basics going on at the moment, Neil, in terms of revisit my website, revisit my SEO strategy. And I think that was the message I was hearing from a lot of people. I was expecting to see more feedback around, say, newer platforms or whatever, but it was actually, you kind of forget that something like direct mail or print or events, they're still so huge for many of companies that are out there, that actually the removal of them was bigger news and moving and getting my content strategy right, or my website right, or my email strategy, you know, an old school digital approach, but that stuff matters, particularly when, you know, you might be increasing your data capture on your website and so on. What are you going to do with all these people who are you now having a free trial? So I just got a sense that digital is winning, but there's a bit of digital back to basics kind of going on as well.
So looking forward, we already talked about that survey with, you know, customer experience, digital strategy, what have you. Looking forward as to the skill sets that marketers, or for, you know, there's always a contingent of entrepreneurs and business owners that listen to this podcast as well. So looking forward, what are those key areas that vis-a-vis digital marketing that our listeners should be focusing on, you think?
Yeah, I think the ones I mentioned earlier are probably the ones that are on top of CMOs' minds. And if they're on top of CMOs' minds, then they're probably driving the change. I'm slightly biased in the sense that we provide both specialized but kind of general digital marketing training. And I always think a good place to start, even if you're working in digital marketing, which a lot of our students and members do, having a broad brush view and knowledge of digital as a whole is actually really critical. So, you know, you don't want to be the TikTok specialist and, you know, in a company and then they decide to use a different platform. So I would actually say, you know, just again, given the current climate, then that getting that broad across social, across analytics, across SEO, across PPC, the typical sort of traditional things, and influencer marketing, that's the best way to approach it right now. And don't pigeonhole yourself into an area until you feel, actually, do you know what? I really want to do CX. I think this is going to. So yes, CX, analytics, website optimization, the things I talked about earlier, they're in most demand. But I think having a broad base, and actually, Neil, since you and I spoke, DMI has done a deal with the American Marketing Association. So if you study our kind of core DMI Pro program, you do one course, you do one test, and you get a cert from us, and you get a cert from the American Marketing Association. So I think that's a good thing for people to tag onto their resume in these tough times.
Oh, that's fantastic news. Congratulations.
Thanks for that.
It's funny. I mean, just getting back to basics, I see so much email marketing communication from companies that never sent me an email before, right? And in fact, I've done a series of webinars. I've probably done a dozen or so webinars since the lockdown started. I think the most popular one in terms of numbers of attendees as well as number of clicks was on email marketing and lead magnets, right? So there's something to be said for getting back to basics and making sure you have all your bases covered, because these are all the different digital touch points. I mean, the way I look at it, Ken, I really simplified. I go, okay, if you need to have a digital first mindset with your marketing, what are people doing digitally when they're online? Well, they're either searching, they're reading email, and yes, they may be looking at their text, but because they're at home, there's probably more email reading going on.
Yeah, I agree.
Or they're in social media, right? And you need to have all those bases covered. And obviously search, it brings up SEO, it brings up content, it brings up pay-per-click. Things that, you know, they're not sexy, but it's a critical touch point that you can't ignore.
Yeah, like we're in our space, Neil, search volumes have gone up for certain terms, anywhere from 23% to 80%. So if you're not present in that activity, you're in difficulties. I'm sure social platforms usage has gone through the roof as well. I don't know the exact figures. And then, as you say, email is just, and there's still quite a lot of poor email communication, unpersonalized, or just the same thing over and over again. And I think people have an opportunity to think, hang on, I need to talk. I've got an opportunity to talk to these customers, not just kind of shout at them, because they're now taking the time to read my emails probably more than they did in the past. So if I had that customer sitting in front of me in their living room, what would I say to them? And I think, you know, that people need to think about their emails. They've got pots and pots typically of leads or databases. Let's revisit. And an email doesn't have to be just boring. It can be nice and interactive. It can bring you to the right place and the landing pages can be cool. And you can have nice messaging and you give people stuff and you can bring influencers in on your landing pages and so on. So it can be brought to life more as well.
Yeah, and the technology with marketing automation, the technology exists for personalization at scale, right? And really leveraging that data for a lot of different reasons. So awesome. So Ken, for those listeners that want to find out more about the Digital Marketing Institute, what would be the best way to find out about the organization or give it a test spin?
So you can come to our shop. No, you could visit the website, which is the longest URL in the world, which is digitalmarketinginstitute.com. And you'll find out all about the options we have for people right there. So I've been preaching about the website being the most important vehicle for a company. So all your listeners can come along and challenge our website and tell us how we can improve it. So they'll find all the information there.
But correct me if I'm wrong, didn't you do a complete revamp of the website like last year?
Yeah, so it is a beautiful website, and that's why I'm happy to give that to you.
And the URL has all those keywords for good SEO.
So. Correct. So there is that benefit. It's not as sexy as you say, but it does work.
Yep, it works. Awesome. Well, Ken, thank you so much for being on the podcast. Any last minute advice for the listeners? Any points you want to make sure people are aware of going forward?
I think we've covered everything, Neil. I've really enjoyed our discussion, and I hope people get something out of the chat that we've had.
Awesome.
Tough times out there for some people, and opportunistic times for others. So that's
I believe so as well. I know we started off on extremely negative news.
Yeah, I know. Sorry, I didn't mean to bring us there. But I remember the first 2 weeks in March, and I was looking at traffic onto the website. It was just down at the lowest level for ages. And then from then on, after 2 weeks, I think we got into opportunity mode, and we've seen a great increase in our business since then.
Yeah, that's excellent. All right. Thank you for listening. Thank you, Ken. Definitely check out digitalmarketinginstitute.com. We'll have that URL in the show notes for the poor spellers that might be listening. And thanks again for being on the podcast. And everybody have a great day. Bye-bye.
I thoroughly hope you enjoyed that episode with Ken. He's really a great guy, and I really love what the Digital Marketing Institute is doing. I actually had a chance to visit their headquarters when I taught at the Irish Management Institute late last year. They're really a great group of people. Located near Dublin, which is an additional benefit if you love Ireland as much as I do. So, hope you enjoyed that. And as a reminder, I don't do these like book giveaways forever. As you've probably heard me mention in earlier podcasts, this is part of my leave no stone unturned approach of doing everything I can so that this new baby of mine called The Age of Influence has the chance to be seen and be read by as many of those that it will help, including those fans of mine, regardless of what medium you're consuming my content in. So I'm not going to do these like forever. This is really a great chance. If you haven't picked up a copy, I urge you to just write that review on your favorite podcast app and send me the screenshot. We'll get you hooked up. But like I said, previous giveaways have been limited to the United States. This one I am going to do worldwide. There are limited copies. So when the copies run out, they run out. So make sure you act earlier rather than later. If you really want to make sure you get a copy for yourself, or if you already read the book and you want to recommend it and send it to others, just let me know who you want to send it to. I'll send it to them with a little note from you signed by me. All I want you to do is just write that review for me. So you help me, and I will do my best to help you. All right, everybody. As always, I really appreciate your being a subscriber. The comments you let me know in social media about how this podcast has impacted you. I am fully invested in giving you more and more great information. We still got some great interviews lined up. And hey, my solo episodes, hopefully you enjoy those as well. So make sure you hit that subscribe button regardless of what podcast listening application you're on. And wherever you're in the world, you know what? I don't even want to edit that. Wherever you are, I get so excited, I trip over my own words. Wherever you are in the world, make it a great virtual social day. Stay safe, everybody. Until next week. Bye-bye.